the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Andrea Brandon, great song tonight. Amen. Am I on here? I got to turn me on. Turn this thing. Testing, testing. Are we on now? All right, good. Amen. There's a boy who walked into a barber shop. And the barber said to the customer, he said, "This is the dumbest kid in the world. Watch, I'm going to prove it to you." So the barber puts a $1 bill in one hand and two quarters in the other, then calls the boy over and asks, "Which do you want, son?" So the boy took the two quarters and he left. "What did I tell you?" said the barber. "That kid never learns." Later, when the customers leave, he sees the same boy coming out of the ice cream parlor. He said, "Hey, son, can I ask you a question? Why did you take the quarters instead of the dollar bill?" The boy licked his ice cream cone. He said, "Because the day I take the dollar bill, the game is over." Amen? So don't think everybody's as dumb as you think they might be. Amen? And thank God for boys who use their mischievous abilities sometimes. Amen. All right, take your Bible, please. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 22 in your Bibles tonight. I'm going to continue our series tonight on the subject of roles, the roles that God has for each one of us. And I want to speak to you tonight on the role of being a parent. The role of being a parent. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to read this, begin with verse number 1 tonight. And so follow along. We'll read several verses in Scripture tonight on this subject, the role of a parent. Proverbs chapter 22, let's begin with verse number 1. The Bible says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them." Now, notice the next phrase, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." We're going to talk about that subject and preach on this thought, the role of being a parent. Let's bow in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Bible tonight. Thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, once again, we need your Holy Spirit presence and your Holy Spirit power to meet with us in your word tonight. We need to have a focusing, Lord, tonight on thy word. And so, Lord, we just pray that you help us in these next few moments as we open the Bible. Give us hearts ready to glean something from God's word. Lord, we know that our cup will go home empty if we don't put our cup out to you tonight to get something from the Lord. So speak to our hearts tonight, we pray, Holy Spirit, and bless what we say. In Jesus' name, amen. I was looking and scanning through the Bible about how many things the Bible talks about a parent and how many times the Bible talks about us raising our children. And you'd be surprised at how many verses and how many scriptures there are that talk about a parent raising their children. Now, can I say first of all tonight that the world does not understand God's role of being a parent. The world does not understand that. They do not have a good understanding. And so consequently, the world is going to form their own idea of thinking. And can I tell you, it goes contrary to God's word. God's word is the final authority for all of our faith and practice. If God said it, then there it is, we ought to follow it. And that should be the heart's desire and the understanding of the role of parents. And as I begin to dig for this message, I begin to realize that there are so many things that cannot be said about parenting. You know, Proverbs has 89 instructions for a parent to a child in just the book of Proverbs. I mean, that's a lot right there. Unless you and I want to stay here till midnight and Utica's fall out of the upper floor, I can't get to all of them tonight. Amen? But I want to give you some things. I want to give you, I think, really are the main core 10 things that a parent can follow to train our children. Now, let me say this. Every parent ought to have the goal to train a godly child. Amen. A godly child. I don't think that necessarily means that they're called, because God does the calling. It is our job, though, it should be our heart's desire to raise a child who is godly and loves the Lord. That ought to be the goal. There's no such thing as a perfect child. And may I tell you, but the goal ought to be to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, because that's the best chance they have to grow up and serve God and live for God. So tonight I want to give you some things about this, the role of a parent. Number one, the role of a parent is to train our children. Train a child. Now that word train here in verse 6, it means narrow. And it means to narrow the direction of life that they ought to go to. You say, you ever heard the phrase, don't be so narrow-minded? I got news for you. That's biblical. Amen. Amen? Teach a child the narrow way. You know what parents are teaching children? This broad way today. Yeah, whatever comes into your mind, whatever fulfills your mind. I got news for you. If a child allows everything in this world to fulfill their mind, they will not want to serve God. There must be a narrowing, a training in the right ways. The right ways encouraged and the wrong ways discouraged. And can I tell you, this is a role of parent. A parent has to take on this role. Now, I've recently heard that there is a philosophy out there that is called this gentle parenting. Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever heard of gentle parenting? Now, this is an unbiblical form of parenting, and the idea of gentle parenting is to never correct the child and never to say anything negative, but that child will respond only to simple and gentle parenting. It leaves off biblical teaching. It does not allow for biblical teaching to enter in as a child is raised. But it is this idea that shuns any correction. It shuns any discipline, because after all, that is not gentle and that is not kind. I had an experience years ago with this when I was working in Bible college. I worked at a hardwood lumber company when I was in Bible college. And there was a lady there, and this lady's child had come in, and they were kind of making a messes and, you know, doing things that they shouldn't have done in that place of business. And I noticed she didn't want to correct them. She didn't want to train that child in what they should do. She was kind of this gentle parenting philosophy. And she came along and she told me these words. She said, "Well, we don't believe in disciplining our child." And oh, so bad. You know, have you ever just wanted to say something? Anybody like that? You just want to say it, and if you don't bite your tongue, it's coming out. I wanted so bad to look at her and say, "I can tell! I can see it!" No, can I tell you what? If God established the home, if God put the husband and wife together, if God blesses that home. Can I tell you what? God has the ingredients for raising children. And God says it starts by teaching, training. And can I say, you've got to train a child early. It's got to start early. And they've got to start early and train them and say, no, no, this is what we do. It's taking time with them in those early years. I want to say, if you don't take time with them in the early years to train them, to explain things to them, to show them, no, this is not how we're doing it. What you're really doing is you're teaching them to listen to that parent. You're teaching them to listen. And may I tell you what? Life is a lot of listening. It's a lot of listening. And when that child is trained, the training of listening comes into their mind. And then when the preacher preaches the word of God, they also listen to the word of God. Or, Lord willing, they listen to the word of God. So I'm simply saying, train them up to listen to you. Don't have this philosophy of, well, you know, my child's just going to grow up and do good. Oh, boy, you have fooled yourself. Oh, yes. Do not fool yourself. God has a plan. He wrote down in his word that a child needs the training of a parent. You know, I think one of the scourges of parents today is that they don't spend time teaching their children. They don't spend time doing that. We're too busy on our phone. We're too busy doing this, going here and there, doing the things we like to do. And may I say, if you have a child, take time to teach them. Train up that child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from them. Now, that's point number one. Number two tonight. Are you staying with me? Stay with me. Number two, don't try to be a child's friend. Be a parent. Don't just try to be their friend. Now, Lord willing, if you train them right, when they're old, they get out of the house, they've grown up, got a family of their own, that's when friendship can begin. But when they're under your authority in that home, guess what? Dad's the head of the home. Mom's under dad, and she supports dad. I said mom's under dad, and she supports dad. And just in case you missed that one, I said mom's under dad and supports dad. I didn't stutter either time. Amen. I'm saying, when that is in place, that child is going to have an opportunity to do right. Be a parent. Be a parent. Don't be a passive parent. And then don't be a hothead parent either. I know a man. The slightest infraction that child gets, I mean, they give him 25 spankings. Can I tell you what? A couple of good stings will probably do the trick. Amen? But, you know, oftentimes a parent will either be too passive or too aggressive rather than exactly what the Bible teaches we should be. And we have to strive to be that. Don't be a child's friend. Be a parent. You say, well, what if they grow up and hate me? I'll tell you what, you've got a better chance of them growing up and hating you if they grow up undisciplined than if they grow up disciplined. Amen. You got a better chance of them hating you in that case. So I'm saying tonight, parents, don't be a friend. Be a parent. And when that child grows up and that child grows older, there's a whole lot better chance that they're going to love you and appreciate you. Now, that doesn't mean, they come up. Titus does come up to me and say, Dad, thanks for all the spankings you gave me. Amen. He's never done that. Amen. I don't know why. He should. Don't you agree? Amen. His wife probably thinks he didn't get enough, but you know, there should be something in a child that when a parent raises them with discipline and control, that they grow up and they'll recognize that. And when they get old, they'll say, I appreciate the way my parents trained me and raised me. And parents, it's so important to not try to be their buddy. Be a parent to your children. Number three, parents should be a spiritual example to the children. You know, one of the best things you can do to your child is be a spiritual example. Be in your Bible. Read your Bible. Be faithful to church. Teach them. We don't miss church. Amen. Amen. We're going to be in God's house. Amen. We're going to be in church. God said, don't forsake it. We're going to be there. Be that example. Well, I'll tell you what. When a child just grows up in church, I tell you what, there are so many opportunities they can hear the word of God to touch their heart and change their life. So many opportunities. Be a godly example. Be consistent, parents. If you think those kids, you can just send them to church and they're going to turn out good and you can live the way you want at home, I got news for you. It won't work. That dog will not hunt. Amen. So it's so important to understand this. Parents, be a spiritual example. Let your kids see you read the Bible. Let them see you pray. Let them see you doing right. Let them see you working hard. This is good for a child to see. Be a spiritual example to them. Amen. Be that example. Number four, keep a child away from worldly influences. Keep a child away from worldly influences. Hey, I want to tell you something, parents. Even for the kids, the devil gets in these cartoons today. Some of these cartoons are so evil and worldly, and they're starting to have cartoons where they're teaching this transsexual philosophy to children. I don't want my kids to see it. I don't want my kids to know anything about it. Be simple concerning evil. I don't want to know it. The world is always going to be the world. It's not going to change. I just don't want my kid a part of it. Amen. Some parents, you know, let me say this. Don't put them in all these worldly sports activities. Well, we got to be on, my kids got to be on the soccer league and the baseball team and the softball club and the gymnastics team, and you're running around like a pinball in a pinball machine. And you think that's good for the child? Let me tell you something. While you're running around like a pinball machine and they're with some worldly club, that influences the world's music, the world's talk, the world's ideas, that's being influenced on those kids. I say to you tonight, do not let your child be around worldly influences. They will pick up things that you do not want them to see or know. Amen. Hey, there's nothing wrong with the child growing up with innocence. That is so much better than that they grow up and see all the junk in the world. Amen. By the way, I don't have to go in, put my head in the trash can to know it stinks. Amen. I've never gone out to the trash can, opened the lid and said, I wonder if this stinks. Let's stick my head in there real good. You know what? I was right. It stinks in that trash can. You know, it's the same with the world. I knew a man, he was a good Christian man. But he said to me, I had a teenage boy, and he said to me this statement. I was a school principal at that time. Some of you don't know how mean I used to be. I was a school principal. Yeah, me. And the parent came to me one time and he said, my philosophy is I'm going to let my kids sow their wild oats now, get it all out of their system. I got news for you. The problem with that is some of them never get it out of their system. It stays in their system. You give them a taste of the world, that old flesh might just really love it and like it. So I'm saying to you, keep them away from worldly influences, worldly talk, worldly television shows, worldly games, worldly toys. And you know, this is Pastor Larson chapter 1 and verse 1, okay? So you take it for what it's worth. But I want to tell you something. Little girls don't be needing to play with fashion dolls. Amen? Amen? No. And boys don't need to be playing with dolls. Amen. 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 Why? Let a man be a man. Let a boy grow up to be a man. Let a girl grow up to be a girl. Yes. Amen. Amen. Years ago when the kids were little, I've told this story before, but I want to hear it again. When they were little, there was a dollhouse, and Lindsay was probably, 6 or 7. And Taylor, I think he was about 3 or 4, something like that. She'll correct me on the ages, but anyhow, something like that. And Lindsay came upstairs. She was upset. Taylor is playing in our dollhouse. Well, I don't want my boy playing in a dollhouse. So I went down, and I said, as soon as I got down there, I was ready to correct Taylor, little guy, 3, 4 years old, and he had his car in the dollhouse. He was smashing the furniture and smashing the dolls, destroying everything in sight. You know what I said? Don't need to correct anything here. Amen? No, I told him to stay out of his sister's dollhouse, but hey, you may think I'm crazy, and the world has all these ideas of be open-minded in parenting. Let me tell you something, that'll cause you a lot of trouble.
Yes, sir.
A Christian ought to teach their child the biblical principles of life. You know, one of those principles is that God made man and woman. He made a woman to be a woman. He made a man to be a man.
Amen.
That's how it is. And this garbage going around today that says, oh, it's okay if a boy acts like a girl or a girl acts like a boy. I got news for you. That displeases God. Because God made boys to be boys and to grow up and be men. And God made girls to grow up and be feminine and to grow up and to be ladies in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And if you don't like it, take it up with God. Amen.
Amen.
It's His book. So, parents, be a spiritual example from your child. Keep your child away from influences. Number 5, a child should be taught self-control. A child should be taught self-control. Go to Proverbs 18, just a few pages over. Proverbs chapter 18, and look at verse number 19. Proverbs 18 and verse number 19. I'm sorry, go to Proverbs 25. Go back. Sorry about that. I just want to see if you knew where it was. Proverbs 25. Look at verse number 28. Proverbs 25. Verse, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. A child that has no rule over themselves, I want to tell you something, it's like a city that's broken down without walls. And what does that mean? A wall in the Bible days was kept to protect the city from enemy attack. So when the walls are broken down, it means that the enemy can get in and attack the city. So when a child isn't under control, the enemy is able to get in and attack them. because there's no rule of their own spirit. So what does that mean? It means this. It means there has to be discipline for a child. And let me show you some things that ought to be disciplined for. Here's some things that a parent ought to discipline a child for. Number one, a child ought to be disciplined for disobedience. If you tell that child to do it, then listen, you better go to the moon and back to make sure they do what you say they do. You say, why? Now, here's what a lot of parents do today. Now, don't do that. And the child goes and does it. And the parent says, oh, well, that's just them. Hey, listen. You know what that child's learned? That child has learned they can do wrong and disobey and get by with it. That's what they've learned. They have learned that wrong is okay to do because my mom and dad will just throw up their hands and allow me to do it. And hear me tonight. It is so important that when a child disobeys, that you go to the moon and back, if you have to make sure that that child obeys. This is part of the training that helps them rule and control their own selves. Because if there's no control, it's like a city that are broken down, and that old devil, he'll swoop right on in and get their young life. So discipline for disobedience. Secondly, discipline for delayed obedience. Discipline for delayed obedience. If they don't obey you and they delay it, there should be discipline for that. You say, wow, why? They still obeyed me. No, they didn't. They didn't do it when you told them to do it. Amen. And if they didn't do it when you told them to do it, there should be consequences. Amen. You see, God expects delay, immediate obedience. You know, when God tells us to obey in His Word, He tells us to obey right away. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, God, I'll think about your commands. God said, no, my Word said it. It's good, and you should obey it. So discipline for disobedience, for delayed obedience. The next thing you ought to discipline for is lying. Amen. Lying. Oh, man. Sometimes a child will lie to you. You say, not my child. My child will never lie. Boy, they got the blinders on you already. You know, the Bible even teaches us foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. We have this little video of one of our grandkids who disobeyed his mom, and he got in the chocolate. And he had chocolate all over his face. And his mom said, did you get in the chocolate? He said, nope. And there's chocolate all over his face. And, you know, I'm grandpa, so it's funny to me. But that's grandpa. But if they were my child, it wouldn't be funny. Amen. And boy, he got it good for that. Amen. You say, why? Because you can't let lying go by. You can't. Deal with lying. Amen. Next, stealing. Stealing. Taking away something that does not belong to them. Whoo! Deal with that every single time. Deal with stealing. Don't allow a child, and parents, we're the ones that allow it. If we allow it, they will get in a pattern and think it's okay to steal. Yeah, sure. Because they're never corrected in a different way. when they take something that's not theirs. And boy, you let that grow into an adult. And boy, you got big trouble on your hands. Amen. So correct them for these. Fighting. Correct the child when they're fighting. Amen. Don't allow kids to just fight with each other. Amen. We had this thing in the car when we're driving, you know, we had a third seat. We're driving down the road. And if they're fighting, you know what they got to do? I got to sit there and hold hands. You two hold hands, and they'll grab each other's hands. Hold each other's hands until you can smile and laugh at each other. And then they'll say, after about 10 minutes, can we let go of each other's hands? I'll look at them and see if they've got the right attitude yet. If you don't have the right attitude, nope, you keep holding hands. You fix your attitude until you can hold hands. And then there's times when they're just being disobedient and you pull alongside the road. And you know those little zip strips as you're pulling offside the road where the car goes bzz, bzz, bzz. My kids tell the story today, whenever we'd hear that sound, it would send the fear of God into us. When they hear the zip strips alongside the road, because dad's pulling over. Amen. See, sometimes a parent, we foolishly put up with something that really needs our attention to discipline. And if we don't do it, they will just go on in life, and that will become a pattern in their life. So it's important. Discipline. Discipline for fighting, lying, stealing, disobedience. Oh, there's a whole host of other things. I got to move on. Number six. A child should be taught to give and to tithe. A child should be taught to give and to tithe. If they earn some money around the house, that's a good thing. If they earn a few dollars or babysitting or however you do it in your home, they earn a few dollars for that, you ought to teach them. So you earn $2, 20 cents of that belongs to the Lord. So you should give 20 cents to the Lord. It's a good thing. Teach them to come to church, put it in that tithe envelope, and write 20 cents on that tithe envelope. Put it in the offering. Boy, that's good training. That is good training. Because if a child will learn to give at an early age, they will experience the blessings of giving at an early age. Tithing, but also teach them to give. Teach them to give. When it's missions conference time and that card is passed to fill out, hey, I want to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with a child with the guidance of a parent. There's nothing wrong with the child with the parent's guidance filling out that card for a little bit and working to earn that money to give to missions. I'll tell you something. That puts a child in a pathway of blessing in life when they learn early to give to missions. So giving and tithing are important. Teach them to do these things. Number seven, a child should be taught that God is always watching. God is always watching. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And that's important to teach in Sunday school, but hey, it's important to be teaching at home. Teach kids this at home. They need to know this. They need to understand God's always watching. Hey, when you're off with your friends, you know, God's watching. Don't forget that. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees everything. Teach a child that. Number eight. Are you still with me? teach a child the importance of being faithful to church. Now, I can tell you this, parents. I can tell you this. Every child's going to go through this time in life when church is going to kind of be a drag to them. And especially they reach that teenage stage sometimes. And man alive, we always had this rule, is that our kids had to sit. I like it when the teens sit in a teen section, but our kids had to sit in front of where we sat. So if we sit on the second row, they're either on the second row or the first row. Amen. They can't be hiding out back there in the back. Amen. Oh, that's good preaching, preacher. You just stay with that one right there. But teach them to be faithful to church. Teach them to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Teach them to be at church. When the revival comes, hey, make a big deal of it. It's revival time. This is good. We're going to go to church tonight. And teach them to be faithful to church. I'll tell you something. If you look and you talk to any young person who's grown up in church, who is an adult now and serving the Lord, talk to any one of those kids who's grown up in church, they're adult now serving the Lord, ask them if they didn't hear at some point some preaching, some message, some truth that changed their life in church. Ask them. And they will recall the times when they've heard messages, be it a preacher or an evangelist, a pastor, a missionary, and something that was said impacted their heart and their mind, and they can't get it out of their heart and their mind. Now, what if they had never been taught to be faithful to church? Those things would never have been heard by them. They would never have had those opportunities to hear the Word of God. And by the way, don't you know that if a child is allowed to miss church in the home one week, guess what? They're going to try it the same the next week. So where do you stop it? You stop it at week one. Amen. Nip it in the bud. Take Barney Fife's advice. Amen. Nip it in the bud. Number 9, a child ought to be taught to sing and to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Teach a child to sing. Teach them to sing. Don't let them come to church and just sit there and sulk during the congregational singing. Amen. Grab a songbook and sing. Sing right along. Teach them that all along. Amen. Teach them to sing. Number 10, teach them the destructiveness of addictions and worldliness. Amen. Teach them the destructiveness of addictions and worldliness. Hey, tell them stories about people whose lives have been messed up because they touch that stuff. And then show them, we don't ever touch that stuff. It's horrible. Amen. Make a big deal of it. Let them know. No, put that, there should be the fear of the Lord when it comes to these things. There should be some fear. I don't want to go out into that world, and I don't want to have to mingle amongst all the ungodly people in the world. There ought to be a little bit of a fear of God in a child when that happens. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying shelter them so much that they can't work out in this working world. I'm simply saying let them grow up with innocence and let them grow up not having to have learned the world's ways and become worldly. Destructiveness, it will destroy them. Addictions, trouble, these things are going to ruin a child. Teach them wrong. You know, Dr. Jack Hiles, when he was a little boy, his mother would take a newspaper and there'd be an ad in it for liquor. And she'd say, that's bad, that's bad. And she'd say, "You say it. Bad, bad, bad. That's bad." I'm talking a little boy. Bad, bad, bad. Hey, his mother taught him that's bad. Bad, bad. Oh, and you know what? He remembered it even in his older years, that his mother had taught him that. Yeah. Oh, and hey, listen, parents. Be sure to show emphasis that, oh, that stuff is bad. That's horrible. We don't do that. That's awful. Amen. Amen. Now, I believe if these 10 things are in a home, in a family, listen, God's going to bless those kids and their life. And God's going to bless you as a parent. Don't ever give up on parenting, even though you get tired. We raised 7 kids, and I'll tell you what, we didn't go to bed at night. We collapsed. We dropped dead. Amen. You say, if I did all these things, it would be, I'd be so tired I couldn't do them. You could do them. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We can. We can raise good, godly kids in an ungodly time. We can. You know why? Because we have God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God to guide us. We have the truth. And when a good parent puts all that together in that role that they accept from God above and teach those children the ways of the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. God can do some wonderful things in their life. Amen. Amen. Now, I have time to time when a parent comes to me and they tell me, "Preacher, my children are gone. They're raised. They're gone. I don't have any more influence in their life. But they're not serving God. What do I do?" Do you realize that the power of prayer for them is a powerful thing? Amen. The power of prayer for a child. It not only does something for you, but when you tell a child, "Hey, I'm praying for you," that should register something in their mind. It tells them, "I love you, but there's some wrong in your life that God wants you to make right. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." Oh, hear me, parent. Don't ever give up on a wayward child. Don't ever give up on them. Just keep on praying. Keep on trusting God. May I tell you what? When you raised them for the Lord, you raised them to serving the Lord, and if they do go astray, you let them know, "I'm praying for you." Because in the bottom of their heart and their mind, they know a lot of what they've been taught already. And hear me. Got to keep praying for them. Now, I'm done with the message tonight, but let me say this. Are these things forming in your life? Is this the role of a parent that God's given you to accept? Some of you one day will be a parent. Some of you are thanking God that that stage is over. And some of you are still raising children. Can I tell you, let's follow the Bible principles. They will be good for their life, and they will bless their life. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight. I wonder tonight, maybe something in the message tonight spoke to your heart. Something spoke to your mind, spoke to your heart, said, "I want to incorporate that in my life." That's you. Would you lift your hand? God spoke to me about something. God spoke to me tonight. I wonder tonight, maybe you're here and you say, "Pastor, I'm not saved. I need to be saved." If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, would you say tonight, "Preacher, would you pray for me?" Would you lift up your hand and say, "Pray for me, preacher"? Is there one like that tonight? Is there one who needs to be saved here tonight? And anyone at all?